Well, we feel like the Lord's been talking to us some this week. I want to just share that, and we trust that the Lord will give us utterance this morning. Last week, we spoke about a cup and talked a little bit about the cup of suffering that the Lord had and how that cup has a mixture in it. And we have a cup also. And, the Lord took his cup and he asked God, which I'm going to read here in a minute, Lord willing, if it could be removed from him. That cup had it had a lot of suffering in it for Jesus. But I want to read a little more this morning and study a little bit more about what's in that cup. Because I don't think I'm doing any injustice to the scripture, but in Psalm 75 and 8, maybe we'll start there. And it says here, Psalm 75 and 8, "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them." You know, this morning, the Lord has a different cup for his people than he has for the wicked. He has a cup for the wicked. He has a cup for the righteous. And in that cup, it says here that it's full of mixture. And he poureth out of the same. The scripture before it says, "But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." You know, we don't know. Every one of us have a little different cup, don't we? We all have different circumstances in life. We have different things that come into our life that we have to deal with. But it talks about the dregs here, and this was mentioned after service last Sunday, and I've been praying about it, and the Lord started talking to me about some of these things. Those dregs are it's the sediment of liquors, lees or grounds or feculence, any foreign matter of liquors that subsides to the bottom of a vessel, waste or worthless matter, dross, sweepings, refuse. Hence the most vile and despicable part of men as the dregs of society. You know, those things that are the dregs was mentioned last week and said that was reserved for the wicked. Those are the worthless matter. That's the things that don't do good for people. That's the things that don't benefit lives. We see a world today suffering from the dregs, suffering from sin, suffering from things that they shouldn't have to suffer from because the Lord brought something so much better. He has for us a cup, and in that cup there is nothing to kill. There is nothing meant to destroy. The devil comes to kill and to destroy and to tempt and to do all of those things and to steal away those things that are good from us. That's the devil's work. But in the cup of the Lord that he gives to us is life. The things that he allows into our life and into our lives, they're full of life. The sufferings that he's allowed, they're not meant to harm us in any way. They're not meant to kill. They're not meant to destroy. In fact, the Lord put some things in there with it. And I want to talk about those things this morning that the Lord put in with it. You know, it's not waste. It's not worthless. The things that come into our life are not worthless. The things that we have to fight, God allows those things. Do we just roll over and let Satan have his day? No. We rebuke the devil in the name of the Lord. He gives us that power. It's in the cup. The Lord has supplied for us power over every power because he has that power. And he gives that power to us. He doesn't want our lives oppressed by the devil. He doesn't want our lives beat down by Satan. The Lord wants a people that's full of vibrance and life and has much peace and joy in their lives. The Lord wants us to have that. It's in the cup, but it's mixed with suffering, and He's told us that. And so we need to know that from the start, or we'll be so disappointed, as some of the disciples were, and they were so disillusioned that there should be disappointment along the way, because they were looking for a kingdom that ruled over this world and that set up its kingdom right here in the physical. The Lord didn't plan on doing that. But they came to the place where God filled their souls. He filled their hearts with the Spirit of the Lord. And they became an overwhelming force that went out to all the world. And some of those disciples, those apostles, I believe Thomas went clear to India. And they said there was 13 congregations there that was begun by his work there. And then they killed him. You know, that was all in Thomas's cup. The Lord had that. But was Thomas a beat down? No, he overcame that. He brought that to them and sealed it by his blood. By his very blood, he sealed his testimony in the Lord this morning. You know, I want to look at some of Jesus, a few of his words. But first, I want to read this song. I love this song. I think I read it a while back, at least part of it. He giveth more grace as our burdens grow greater. I want us to remember something this morning. As our burdens grow greater and our suffering sometimes increases, and sometimes we're in adverse circumstances, God allows that sometimes. But I'll tell you what increases with it. He gives more grace. And He increases the grace. He increases that power from God, that strength and fortitude that a man has in his soul. The Lord doesn't plan on the battles of life diminishing our strength one bit. He plans on it increasing us. He sendeth more strength, it says, as our labors increase. To added afflictions, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, He multiplies peace. You know, the Lord, I believe, is this kind of God. The things He allows into our life, He has the throttle on all that. He knows what He's willing to allow, because He's not going to allow one thing that, if we seek His grace, will not work for our great benefit and blessing in our life. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. Now, we reach the end, we think that's the dregs. We think we're out. That's just the beginning of what's in our cup. Because the Lord won't leave us there, and He'll pick up from there and carry us if we need carried. We've all heard the poem that was written about the man that he saw two sets of footprints, and in the hardest times of his life, this was a dream I believe he had, in the hardest parts of his life there was only one set, and he asked the Lord, "Lord, why did you leave me, or why was there only one set of footprints during the hardest parts of my life?" And the Lord told him, "I carried you there." You know, that is the way it is. The Lord in our cup, when the trials increase, so does His grace. So does His mercy. So does His giving. When we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. Fear not that thy need shall exceed His provision. Our God ever yearns His resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting, availing. The Father both thee and thy load will upbear. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus He giveth and giveth and giveth again. You know, we need to remember that, don't we? Because if we don't, our head can hang low when the battle gets hard. When the disciples, they didn't know all of this, really. When Jesus died and left, and they were walking along on the road to Emmaus, and they were sad, and they thought They thought the Lord was going to set up His kingdom. Well, He was. They just didn't understand. And so the Lord came along and blessed them more than they could have ever been blessed had He set up a physical kingdom. In Luke 22 and 42, we see a little bit of Jesus here. I just want to read a scripture or two. You know, Luke 22, Jesus went before us. He tried the way. He proved the way. He took all of this. When His load increased and when the Lord's burden was heavy, you know, God didn't leave Him there. I want to look at what the Lord always does for His people. And I say always because I believe that. Luke, verse 42 here, saying, Father, verse 41, and He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And there appeared an angel from heaven unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. You know, Jesus here was in a battle. And we know that it says that the next verse tells us that His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus was wrestling. He was suffering. He was in a battle. He was paving the way for us. He was suffering because of sin, so we wouldn't have to. Jesus took that for us. He was suffering. He was giving up His peace that we might have peace. He was conquering the devil. He was conquering Satan so we could. That's why we can be assured, because Jesus paved the way. He went to the cross. He died. He paved that way. He drank of that cup. And we find Him there saying, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Lord, remove it. God, remove this cup from me if it's possible. You know, I just want to encourage us this morning. We want to pray that way too. When Paul had a thorn in the flesh, he prayed to God that He would remove that thorn. But you know what? God told Paul, I have something here I want you to bear. It's the messenger of Satan, and I'm going to let you bear it. And the reason was to keep him humble. You know, I don't believe we should just give in and let Satan beat on us. But I will tell you, sometimes the Lord allows things into our life. He allowed Himself. God stood by and allowed Jesus to feel forsaken and to say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? God stood by and allowed that in Jesus' time for a time. And it was for a benefit, wasn't it? It was for eternal riches. For the glory set before Him, Jesus endured that contradiction of sinners against Himself. I want to read a little more. I'll just maybe quote it. But when Jesus was in the wilderness, and, you know, we find Him there in temptation. We find Him in weakness. And Isaiah says He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. But Jesus endured that. And you know, when He was in that place of temptation in the desert, 40 days, you know, that was a very hard time for Him. But at the end of it, when He had resisted. And why did God work this way? The Lord anointed Him for His ministry. When He came out of there, He did His first miracle and began His ministry publicly. And you know, we find Him there, and it says, then the devil leaveth Him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto Him. You know, the Lord was very interested in us. He stood that for us. And it says angels came and ministered unto Him. You know, this morning, I believe this with all my heart. As the battle increases, so will the grace. If we need angels to minister us, God will send angels to minister to us. If we need a great dose of peace from heaven down in the middle of a trial, God will give that to us if we'll seek Him for it. I believe the Lord has plenty of grace. Jesus was wrestling with the flesh. In Hebrews 2, it tells us that it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren. And so Jesus paved the way so that we could rest, so that we could enjoy the things that God has so willingly given to us. And it says here, wherefore, Hebrews 2 and 17, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. You know, that ought to give us a measure of relief this morning. Do you know Jesus was tempted? He knew what it was to be weak. He knew what it was to feel really tempted. Jesus felt that. The devil came along and tempted Him and showed Him things in the world that He could have, supposedly. And, of course, we know Jesus was without sin. He rejected that. And God gave us the strength to reject that, too. We're able to live free from those vices of sin, those things that would attach themselves to us, because He overcame. And so, today, I just want us to think this morning about the cup. The Lord bore His cup so we could bear our cup. I want to look at the scripture in 1 Corinthians 10. Jesus here is a faithful and a merciful high priest. He sees our needs. He knows how we feel because He was tempted in all points like as we. He knows what it means to bear something long and to bear because He was tempted like we are. He was over 30 years old. He experienced some things in life. We don't have everything that went on in His life. But I will tell you, before He reached 30, He bore some things. So Jesus knew what life was like. Corinthians 10 and 13, listen to this. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You believe that this morning? I believe the Bible. We ought to believe the Bible this morning. I don't know about your situation, but we're all men and women. And the things that come to us, the Bible tells us, are common to men. The same things that face us, the same things we have to deal with, somebody before us has dealt with. The perplexities of life, somebody before us dealt with those perplexities. The questions of life, somebody before us had to deal with questions like that. But you know, it says here, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Do you know that's in the cup? This way of escape is in the cup. You know, we don't have to fall to sin because of what Jesus said right here. Who will believe our report? Who will believe the report that was made? The prophet said that. Who hath believed our report? It tells us here that there's a way of escape in the cup. You know, this morning I just want to encourage us. There's a way in the cup. There's a way of escape with the temptation. There is a way to escape right there. And the Lord promised that to us. You know, in Isaiah 30, here's a scripture that we've heard quoted many times, but we don't normally hear the scripture before it quoted with it. Isaiah 30 and 3, 30 and 20, I'm sorry. It says here, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. That's in the cup, folks. That word that is behind us. That word that gives us clear direction in life. Do you know with the perplexities of life, with the questions we have, in that same cup is the word of the Lord. You'll hear a word. Though you have the bread of affliction, though sometimes God allows adversity into people's lives, I want to tell you something. There's more than that in the cup. And we need to look up with faith to the Lord and know, Lord, I want the whole cup. I want with that, I want the word of the Lord in my ear. I want to hear it. I want to see you walking before me. He says here, thy teachers shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. The Lord, that's in the cup. He'll give that to us this morning. I want to encourage us to seek the Lord and find those things. In 2 Corinthians 1, another place where we have something good in the cup. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. Here was Paul writing, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is the man that had all the things he wrote about, all the beatings and he got stoned and he was shipwrecked and all of these things. He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of the mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. There's a reason for things, folks. There's a reason for what God allows into our life. I don't always know the reason, but there's a reason. He said that we may be able, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. You got tribulation this morning? The Lord wants to give you comfort. Let's seek Him for it. Let's draw up close to Him. Let's get it. Let's get a hold of it. Let's get a little drink of the comfort this morning. That sweet comfort. You ever felt the comfort of the Lord? You ever felt His arm come around you? You ever felt the balm that just healed the wound? Maybe a wound for months, years. And the Lord comes in and He pulls that out and He just puts a balm in there. God does that. It's in the cup. He wants us to have it this morning. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, Paul says, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The Lord wants us to have this thing. He doesn't want our eyes to get fixed on suffering, our eyes to get fixed on perplexity. He wants our eyes on Him. And if we'll put our eyes on Him, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. I'm not talking about suffering for our own faults. Sometimes we suffer for our own faults. We did something we shouldn't have done. That's suffering for our own faults. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to give us a life where He gives us comfort and strength in the midst of our battles. And I know God will help us if we have done something we shouldn't have. But He says here, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. You know, Jesus suffered for us, didn't He? We know that. You suppose sometimes, how many of us that are a little older are a little kinder? Anybody? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of us that are a little older are a little easier on people than we used to be? Most of us, probably. You know why? Because we've went through some things, haven't we? We've found out what it's like to walk in somebody else's shoes sometimes. And we've found out a little about that. Sometimes, folks, we have to have some tribulation that we can understand other people. We're living in a world that's drinking the dregs. Living in a world that's living on sin. And in the midst of it, and suffering on every hand. Not the kind we're talking about, where God brings consolation, where God walks with us, We're talking about suffering that breaks things up, breaks people up, breaks people down, ruins people's lives, takes away people's lives, wars, rumors of wars, all kinds of dopes and all kinds of things that people are hung on to by. They can't get loose from those things. And yet, that's not the kind of things that we're suffering. And thank the Lord for that. But the Lord allows us to suffer some things because I want to tell you, He wants us to know what it feels like to help others. I don't know why the Lord allows sometimes. Why did the Lord allow Joseph to go through what he did? Because he had a reason for it. I believe that everything God allows into our life, He has a reason for. And if we'll draw up close to Him, we'll get the good from it too. And that's the secret. If we fix our eyes on our perplexity, and that becomes our focus, we will sink. Peter did that when he was in the midst of the waves. But when we fix our eyes on the Lord, we will walk on the water that we have to walk on. I believe that. Those comfortings are not just in our mind. They're from the Lord. There's something He gives. There's something that He brings. I mentioned Joseph a minute ago and didn't finish that. Joseph suffered, but God had a plan in mind for him. He had something He wanted to do, and He probably couldn't trust Him with being the ruler. People bowing the knee to Him wherever He went. People honoring Him, and Joseph couldn't accept that honor in the way the world did. God had to humble him first, make him a faithful man. There was some things that made him pure gold. It's called the fire. The Bible talks about it as being tried. Sometimes that word tried just simply means to a trial or to see how something's going to do. Other times, it's talking about fire. It's talking about purifying gold, getting something purified and tried and ready for what's needed. You know, this morning, the comfort that we're speaking of, that the Lord has in that cup. He told us in John 16, where He talks about it was necessary for Him to go away. You know why? It says here 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Folks, I want to tell you something. This Comforter is a powerful thing in our life. We should not live under the buffeting of Satan and allow him to steal our peace and our life. I want to tell you, the Comforter came to bring comfort. He came to do several things. He says here, "If I go and not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send you to Him. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." He'll give you a clear mind about some things that are right and wrong. The things the world is drowning on and trying to ask themselves, is this right or wrong? The Holy Spirit wants to give us some things that makes life right and that makes things right in life. "Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." You know, that's the only way the Holy Spirit can guide. And if we'll draw up close to Him and let Him guide our lives, we're afraid. People are afraid to let loose. I can't say I'm afraid anymore of that. But I will tell you, it's a temptation, especially at the start, to let loose of your life to God completely. But He said He will guide us into all truth. Everything He guides us into is going to be truth. And if we'll let Him guide our life, if we'll let Him work in our life, He'll solve many of the perplexities of life as we go through. And he says here, I believe he'll guide us more than just into truth. He'll guide us through the decisions of life, through the things, the questions we have. The Holy Spirit will guide us. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. You know, I think about Stephen, when they stoned him. That's in Acts 7. Maybe I'll read part of that. But you know, Stephen was there, and he was brought before this council. And they got so angry and so upset that they gnashed on him with their teeth. Can you imagine the atmosphere Stephen was in? And what kind of a trial, what kind of a temptation he was in to yield to that kind of pressure. Here was all these were not the offscouring of society. These were the leaders in their place. And they had him there. But we find Stephen and we see what happened to him. And it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But listen what was in the cup for him. Now he was fixing to be martyred. They were fixing to stone him. But look what was in the cup and the mixture. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him. They could not take that. Ran upon him with one accord. But you know what was in the mix for Stephen? The Lord had a great trial for Stephen to go through. I hope I don't have to face this. But he had a great trial. But you know what he had with it? A great grace. I've never seen the heavens opened up like that and seen into it. I've never seen the glory of God in that way. But Stephen saw it. That was in his cup. He didn't just have a cup of suffering this morning. That's what will be in our cup too. I believe that. When our cup gets this great, God will deal with us like this. We see it all through the Bible. I was amazed when I started. I just felt like the Lord started bringing these things to me. Some of them in the middle of the night. And I was amazed at how many things there were like this. You know, and I thought, well, the Lord we don't see that too much. Angels coming and ministering and the heavens opened up and all of that. If our trials get this big, we'll see this too. So I want to thank the Lord this morning. I believe that God will stand by us in this way if we need it. In Acts 27, we all know the story of Paul. He was out there on the water. And they were driven about with storms for many days until they threw out the tackling with their hands, it says. They unloaded the wheat from the ship. And you know, it says all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But you know what happened with Paul? Here he was. God had him on that ship. It's important for us to just be right where God wants us. That's real important. If we're where God wants us, we're not taking our own way. We're following him. Then whatever he allows into our cup, along with that, he will put in this other part also. And so Paul, it says here, for there stood by me this night the angel of God. He told him, he said, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, verse 22. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. The ship's going to be lost. There ain't anybody going to die. The Lord showed him something to come, didn't he? He showed him what was going to happen before it happened. If we get on a ship like that, the Lord will show us too, I believe. And I believe some of us here have seen some of these kind of things. We know that when Sister Connie's trial, Brother Duane's trial, there was angels seen physically in that courtroom. God does that when the trial increases, when it gets greater. I remember Brother Salmon's saying, and I never will forget that message, I believe, as long as I have a good mind, steady as you go. I remember him preaching that at Monarch. It made such a permanent impression on my mind. And he was talking about being in that ship during World War II and the waves just up and down throwing that ship, and it was a frightening thing. And the captain was up above, and there was a little tube that came down, and he would say, steady as you go, steady as you go. And he would tell him, turn a little starboard, turn a little the other way, however he was to turn. But he kept saying, steady as you go, because they were in that kind of waves. And they came through that. You know, the Lord allows those things into our life too. He really does. They're for a benefit to us. If we look at the storm, if we look at the waves, we will sink. Let's keep our eyes of faith on the Lord. Lift them up to Him, because I want to tell you, He wants to bring us through, and He will bring us through. And He wants to make that trial prove a blessing to us. It's in the cup. It's in every cup that we have from the Lord. You know, Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, and they had been beaten, that hurt. Blood from their stripes. They weren't hit with a belt like we do with a child that's unruly sometimes. They were beaten until blood came. They were hurt. Then they put them in chains, and there they were. Terrible trial. You know what God began to work in them? They began to sing and praise the Lord. And then there was an earthquake, and the chains fell off of them. And all of them were free. How did that happen? Because God had that mix in their cup. And He knew all along what He was going to do. It was just their job to remain faithful. This morning I want to encourage us, pluck up a stout heart. Remain faithful to God. I don't believe there's anything that He's going to allow to us that's not going to be a real blessing and a benefit to us. I want to read another place here in Psalm 42. How many of us, how many times have taken great consolation and comfort from the Psalms? But it says here in verse 1, 42 and 1, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the joy, voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Somebody wises up here, don't they? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. This morning, I just want to encourage us. I want to tell you something. Why art thou cast down? Hope thou in God. Don't you know God never lost a battle? Don't you know there was never a battle God lost? Don't you know it's impossible for God to lose? God can't lose. Our job is to get with God. Our job is to have Him in the midst of our life. Our job is to be in the place where He tells us to be, to follow Him, that our life is centered in His will. And when we're centered in His will, that's when all the promises of God become yea and amen to us. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. That's Psalms 24 and 8. I want to read just a little bit that Clark said about that Psalms 42 and 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Bad as the times are, desolate as Jerusalem is, insulting as are our enemies, hopeless as in the sight of man our condition may be, yet there is no room for despair. All things are possible to God. We have a promise of restoration. He is as good as he is powerful. Hope, therefore, in him. You know, and it goes on, I shall yet praise him for my restoration from this captivity. He is the health of my soul. I shall have the light and help of his countenance, his approbation, and a glorious deliverance wrought by his right hand. You know, this morning, we're not in the situation they were in, as Clark said, where they were forsaken and all of those things. But sometimes we might feel a little forsaken in our battle. Sometimes the perplexity of our life might seem pretty big. Hope thou in God. I just want to tell us this morning, I want to say, God has in that same cup all the comfort we need. He has all the direction we need. He has all the strength that we need. He has all the deliverance that we need. He has all that we need to keep us encouraged. You know, you look at the ones that have went before us. Jacob was in a tough situation, wasn't he? God didn't leave him. And really part of that was his fault. But he dreamed a dream, didn't he? And he said, surely God is in this place. I'm guessing Jacob took a lot of courage after that, a lot of comfort. I believe God's going to help us here. That's what God does for us. How many of us have experienced that? All of us that have lived for God a little while. I believe that. If you've sought the Lord, you'll find that he does that. David became king. That was in his cup. Looked pretty dark for David for a while. He finally just moved away. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what was in their cup? One of the most mighty deliverances in the Bible. They went down into a furnace that was so hot that it burned up those that threw them in. But it never touched them. It just burned their ropes off. It set them free. That battle did. That trouble. And then they were promoted in the kingdom, in the place where they were at. God had all that in their cup. They didn't know that. I'm guessing when they went up there, they figured they were going to die. They told the king, our God's able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, that's all right. We're not careful to answer you anyway. Jesus, in his cup, he's at the right hand of God. He suffered a little. He died at the hands of sinners. He died for sinners. He died in place of us so we wouldn't have to. But he's at the right hand of God today. Paul, most of the apostles, they met a martyr's death. Thomas met a bad death. And I'm not saying we're going to meet those kind of deaths. But whatever our perplexity is, those apostles have been with God now for a long, long time. About a couple thousand years. You know, this morning, let's look at God. Let's keep our eyes on him. I know the world is turning their back on God. All around us, society is changing. They're changing their ideas even from the things that God has said and disputing with us of those things, making it look as if we're a little slow, a little not there to believe what we believe. You know what, this morning, God wants us to pluck up courage. We have what they need to save their souls from sin, the thing that keeps destroying them. There's a man right now that keeps threatening to hit the United States with nuclear bombs. You know what we have in our power? We have within our grasp the answer for that man. We have the thing that would save him and change him from all those desires. Not just him, but all around us. We have that. Let's lift up our eyes and not just fight our battles. Fight the Lord's battle. The Lord has us going through things to prepare us to be worth more later. And God wants to use our lives. Let's don't let the devil stop us or shut us down. I just want to encourage us today. Take up your cross. Follow the Lord. Do His will. And become one of those that decided in this life and were persuaded of these things. And picked up their cross and followed the Lord all the way. And a few thousand years from now, I think we'll be real happy. I think we'll be happy of it in this life. Amen.